Welcome, everybody, to Operations Technology. First of all, can everybody hear me okay? I think we did enough audio tests. Okay, we're good to go. Everybody behind the pillar can hear me but not see me. You guys are okay? Great. I'd like to get started by just giving you an introduction of Operations Technology. I think on the packet that you have, it says Plant Operations Technology, and it can be a little bit confusing. Some people have approached me and said, is this computer technology? What does this actually mean? So that's a lot of what we're going to get into today and really define what operations technology is, what it means to you, whether you're a small bottler or you have a large operation here at Nestle, very large operation. It can be interpreted in many different ways. We'll really go through that and what that actually means to each and every one of us and what you can take home from it today. It was Einstein's birthday yesterday. I don't know if anybody knew that, but it has no coincidence in having him up on the screen. I selected him just because when we think of technology, I think a lot of us get baffled and we take a step back and we look at Amazon and we look at Google and everybody's running so fast, 100 miles an hour, I can't keep up. How am I going to keep up with the market? Well, it doesn't take Einstein to do it, and that's what we'll get into today. It's not algorithms, it's not the most advanced computer technology in the world. It has to do with each and every one of you and how you operate on a daily basis. So the agenda for today, let's define operations technology. What's going on in the market in terms of performance, cost, and environmental footprint, something we hold near and dear to our hearts. What is a standard operating procedure? How does that tie into operations technology? What is an operational excellence center? How can it be helpful? And how can you turn the data within the operational excellence center into action, into each and every one of our organizations? I will give you my contact information. Instead of printing out an operational excellence center handbook, as an example for every one of you, I figured you didn't want to travel with 30 to 45 pages on your way home. So I'd ask you to email me and just label it your subject line, Operational Excellence Handbook, and I will send you the example. Okay, we'll do that at the end. And we'll have time for some question and answer when we get through. Okay? Okay. By definition, what is operations technology? What is operational technology? This is the standard definition that you will get in academia. Operational technology is hardware or software or a combination of both that detects causes of change or implements change in your organization in terms of physical devices, processes, and people. Okay? That is the standard book definition. I'm going to watch a little video to get your heart go in a little bit and really feel what operations technology means to me on a daily basis. Pause for a second. Is anybody from the hotel in the room for audio? No. That was kind of low for most of you audio-wise. There's a couple of videos in here. I apologize for that interruption. I'm going to move along, and if somebody from the hotel, if anybody recognizes somebody from the hotel or audio, just I need it to be a little bit louder, and I can't control it from here.
Okay.
Thank you. So that video is something that I put together a little while ago, and I think it really encompasses or it makes me feel like how fast I need to run in order to keep up with the market. at the end there, you see a big, big green street sign that says the future. What does the future mean, right? What does operations technology mean to you? And anybody, you can throw out words. Just throw out one word answers, and I turn it out to the audience. What does it mean to you? Anybody?
Time saving.
Accuracy.
Efficiency.
Profit. Did I hear profit?
Yes.
Profit.
Growth.
Functionality.
Execution.
Very important. Anything else?
Job elimination.
Job elimination. That's my job, yes. No, I'm just kidding. That's true. Anything else?
Traceability.
Very good. All of those answers are very true, and you know, going back to the definition, the standard definition, all of those words are different from what we see up on the screen. But it's our reality that we take back to the organization that we need to encompass all of those words into our day-to-day operations. So as we go along, I challenge you to create your own definition of operations technology and what that means for you and your organization. Some examples of operations technology, just in case you had no idea or you wanted to see some examples. An Army medic handheld. How is that operations technology? What this gentleman is holding is a handheld device, and he's actually in the process of saving somebody's life there. But what he can do on his handheld is he can communicate back to base, and he can communicate with a database that instructs him, just as he would be in a hospital setting, to the vitals for this person that he has in front of him. He's actually saving somebody's life out in the field, but he has full communication with everything that a hospital would actually have. Anybody a former Army medic? No, okay. You can tell more about it than I could, I'm sure. Another example. Perhaps a little bit more larger scale, network operations center. This is really something you might see. I refer to NCIS in the side room where you have access to view every operational indicator that you could possibly have in the world. And in this particular case, we're looking at a map. Anybody know what this is a map of? Can you tell? It's on the East Coast, I know that. There you go, it's Carolinas. And it's really an indication of, this is market trends, believe it or not, in the Carolinas, something that you could look at. I don't know if this screen is actually necessary or not, but this is an example of an operations center where you could look at live market data feeds. Something that each and every one of us use on a day-to-day basis, I'm sure of it, and something we use in our organizations. How many of you have route operations? A little bit higher for me. So maybe a third of us, right? Route operations, good. What is this? GPS? What can it be used for in route operations? Right, delivery operations essentially is what we have here. On the left-hand side, this is a company called OptimoRoute, not something that we use in particular, but a good one in the very least. But you have your stop order on the left-hand side. At the same time, you have your GPS and how you should be going about your day, and then your stop completion on the right-hand side, your delivery completion. So that's an example of operations technology, and something I certainly hold near and dear to my heart right now. It's essentially the heartbeat of what I do day to day. How many people that have route operations are actually using something like this? Okay, even less, right? So we have a third of the room who have route operations, and then we have three people raise their hand that are actually using the forefront of technology and using a handheld for delivery operations. Okay, just keep that in mind as we're going through. Let's talk a little bit about market challenges, and what I mean by market challenges: performance, cost, and environmental footprint. Those three things come to mind when I think about market challenges for all of us. And performance, we talked about what operational technology means to us all, and essentially what performance can be in operational technology is we could be monitoring performance. What else could we be doing with operations technology? Anybody? Say again?
Documenting.
Yep. Anybody else? So monitoring, documenting, and really, if you're using big data, what is big data? Big data is scary. Big data can be very scary. If you're using big data, there is a way to monitor performance, execute, suggesting standards of operation. Okay, we'll talk a little bit more about that, but here's another video for you to talk about big data, 3D printing, and robotics in terms of the market.
How are digital technologies transforming operations? Digitizing operations helps companies to improve process efficiency, reduce transactional costs, enhance employee productivity. Companies have access to a wide variety of new technologies: robotics, 3D printing, big data, mobile, cloud computing. But are companies really using these digital technologies to transform operations? The answer is a resounding no. Survey of.
Cut it off a little bit there. So, when we were talking about operations technology and routing, a third of you raised your hand and said, yes, I have route operations. And then three of you said, I have ways to go about executing route operations, you know, at the forefront of technology, right? And the market challenge is, in terms of performance, when we sit back and think about the Amazons of the world, they are at the forefront of technology, correct? Everybody thinks about Amazon and their performance indicators. They are right now, across the country, are implementing distribution centers, and they're beginning to poach from people like us. They're stealing our people. I don't want to say stealing, but they are taking our people. They are going crazy with robotics in terms of having execution standards that are off the charts. But when we take a step back and look at market challenges, are you really comparing yourself to Amazon? How many people compare your operations to Amazon? Nobody. Okay, that's good. That's really good, because the answer is we're just not there yet, right? We need to take baby steps to get to a place where we're able to execute performance and provide our customer with the product that they're looking for. Okay. We'll get a little bit into operations technology, investing in operations technology, but what we should do before we even invest in technology. The third of you that raised your hand for route operations, before you go and invest in the mobile cast and the way to go about, you know, implementing technology, what should you be doing first?
Researching.
Researching what? I'm sorry, I don't know who said it.
You pay attention to what, for example, Amazon, you pay attention to what's working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You can pay attention to what's working for Amazon. What else should you be doing?
Talking to employees
and asking them what? Absolutely. Talking with employees, what works for you, what's working, what's not working, what can we do to help you out? What else out there? Before, if I'm your delivery driver, if I'm going into route operations, or even if I'm in plant operations, I'm your employee, and you come to me as a manager and say, we're going to implement this new technology, it's going to make it so much better and easier for you to do your job. Your performance is going to increase. It's going to be great for you. Just going to be so much easier. What should we be doing before that actually happens?
Make sure we have talent, training.
What else? sorry.
Having the route.
Having the route? Oh, so I, as a manager, you should be able to go out and do it yourself, right? That's absolutely
no,
true.
Having it.
Oh, yeah. Having. Got it. What else?
Acceptance.
Acceptance?
By the employees.
By the employees. And how do we do that? I'll tell you right now, at our organization, we're going through some interesting changes, and that's going to be part of the huge change, is employee acceptance. But how do we get there? How do you tell me how to do my job?
A repeatable process,
Bob. That's amazing. Repeatable process, right? What does that mean, repeatable process? Learning, training, acceptance. So if I'm going about my day-to-day operation, my day-to-day job, I'm a delivery driver, and I just go out, you give me my stop sheet, and I just go out and run the day. And I do the best that I can, the best I know how. I think I should go to certain stops first. Awesome. Done with my day in 14 hours. Should be done with my day in 8.5 hours. Why am I done in 14? It's not planned properly, and if I don't have a way of knowing what I should be doing on a day-to-day basis, how am I going to execute my job? Okay. The point is here that I would encourage all of you, before you invest in any technology, any single technology, anything, and this applies to plant, this applies to route, this applies to computer technology, you need to train your people, and you need to have a process for your job, and it needs to be consistent. It cannot change throughout the country. It cannot change from office to office. It needs to be consistent and measurable before you invest in any technology whatsoever. Okay? And we'll get into that a little bit as we go along in the presentation. Cost and environmental footprint, something that's near and dear to our hearts, especially environmental footprint. When we talk about route operations and plant and technology, what are we trying to reduce when we talk about environmental footprint? What do our customers want us to do? Conserve, reduce our environmental footprint by, if you're in operations, what should you be measuring? Sustainable energy, that's a good one. Thank you. Reduce miles, big time footprint, right? In terms of gas mileage, carbon, reducing miles is huge for route operations, okay? Plant operations, you want to reduce as well, but miles is a big, I'm a big advocate for reducing miles and bringing that over to the organization, to Nestle Waters that I'm with now, and it's a big culture change for us. But here's another video. It gives you an example of what the larger organizations are doing to combat cost and environmental footprint.
The survey shows that 78% of companies expect digital transformation to be critical to their operations, but only 26% use technology to automate operational processes. Three technologies will transform companies' operations: big data, robotics, and 3D printing. What are the benefits companies can derive from these technologies? UPS used analytics to arrive at the most effective delivery route for its drivers. It helped the company reduce 85 million miles driven per year, cut fuel consumption by 8 million gallons, and reduce engine idle time by 10 million minutes. Using robots in operations helps companies cut costs and produce higher quality products. For instance, a manual paint job for a car uses 20 to 30% more paint compared to automatic painting. 3D printing transforms key manufacturing processes, such as prototyping and manufacturing tooling. Puma reduced prototype creation by 75% from 4 days to 1 day. And Xerox reduced tooling costs by 91% and lead time by 93%.
I cut off a little bit, but it was just another second. But it gives you an example of what the larger companies are doing to reduce footprint and how they're going about it. The in this video, the thing that stands out to me the most and what we can take home is the use of data. You don't really need to be at the forefront of technology to utilize data. And we'll talk about data a little bit more, but what does data actually mean to you? Are you scared of it? Are you scared of data? Data can be a little bit overwhelming. But what does data mean? Information, right? Information about anything specifically. It could be information about your people. It could be information about processes that you've implemented. It could be information about vehicle or human capital. It could be anything, right? It's just simply information, but it's how we translate that data into action that's going to help us improve our environmental footprint, our costs, and essentially our performance. It's the interpretation of data. So when we talk about data, its involvement, its link to operational excellence is key. I'm going to talk a little bit about operational excellence. Does everybody know what operational excellence is? Just by a show of hands, anybody know what operational, besides looking at the screen? Efficiency. Good. Say again.
Up to par.
Up to par. Good. Anything else?
Cost control.
Cost control. Good. There's a lot of job elimination and cost control back there.
Profitability.
By definition, again, we'd like to define operational excellence as an element of the organizational leadership that stresses application of a variety of principles, systems, and tools towards sustainable improvement of key performance metrics. What does that mean? I'd like to take it in order of execution. So you have, within operational excellence, you have key performance metrics that your organization has defined, right? Does everybody have key performance metrics? I hope so. If you don't, you want to think about that a little bit. So key performance metrics. Now, what goes into key performance metrics? When you're developing your plan, so you have, somebody throw out a key performance metric. Anybody?
Units per hour.
Units per hour. Very, very basic, right? Units per hour. What goes into units per hour when you're making this plan? A lot of people struggle with this, believe it or not. Okay? If you don't know what goes into a key performance metric, or if you don't know how to plan to execute or improve units per hour, how will your people know? I would encourage you to say, if we're measuring units per hour, what are the principles, systems, and tools that we use to execute to units per hour? Okay, that's up to your organization to define. It could be different for everyone. It should be different for everyone. Okay, and then that gives you your improvement in cost, environmental footprint, in performance. Okay. But again, this is a very strict definition of operational excellence. Operational excellence can be defined in many ways. I actually had a chance to write down some of my thoughts on what operational excellence is, and I'm going to read some things here to you that maybe help to define operational excellence. It's not easy to define. Some descriptions are too broad. Other set parameters that are so narrow that it's hard for the organization to focus, and seems too focused to define the scope. Often, we end up with definitions of operational excellence that seem plausible in an academic sense, which is this, such as being best in class, being the best globally, being Amazon, excellence in everything that we do. Those are very generic and broad terms. But difficult to translate into plausible actions, which we just witnessed here, right? If we have units per hour, what should we be doing to improve units per hour? Worse yet, we end up with so many different interpretations of what operational excellence is. The organization as a whole lacks a precise definition and a roadmap to follow for achieving it. To properly define operational excellence, we first need to ask some tough fundamental questions about the nature of continuous improvement. The most important of which centers around a misconception regarding the purpose of continuous improvement itself. What good is an efficient factory if the customer no longer needs our product? You can be extremely efficient. What's going to happen if your customer no longer needs the product? You can define your efficient practices internally all you want and be a great efficient factory. But if I don't want your product, what's going to happen? Operations sometimes is very narrowly focused on what's occurring internally and very seldomly focuses on the external market and what that should mean to the impact of the organization. I would encourage you to take that home and take a look at that. Focus on what the customer needs, internal customer and external customer. To leverage operations to achieve business growth, the first step is to understand what operational excellence really is and how we achieve it. Think of it as answering the question, where will our journey of continuous improvement take us? A good answer is that our journey will take us to operational excellence, or the point at which each and every employee can see a flow of value to the customer and fix that flow before it breaks down. While the definition seems simple, it's where we lie in success. The simplicity is where success lies. By defining operational excellence in this way, it applies to every level and every person in the organization, from executives down to our front line. Employees produce the product. Employees execute and deliver the product. It's clear, concise, practical, and most importantly, actionable and teachable if everybody in the organization gets it, if we can define it from the external and internal side. They know that in their respective areas, there should be a visible flow of product or information. They should be able to recognize if flow is normal or abnormal and what to do if it's abnormal without assistance of management. So if there's a breakdown in your operation, your frontline employee, if you have standard processes and that employee has been trained on standard processes, that employee should be able to recognize a breakdown in flow or information and be able to fix that flow his or herself without management or executive getting in the way or asking. That's an interruption to your customer. With this definition of operational excellence, we can begin to teach the true power of lean value streams by taking them a step further. We can now create value streams that not only flow at the rate of customer demand, but are made visual in such a way and such a degree that every employee in the organization can physically see that flow. Once everyone can see abnormal and normal flow, the next step is to create what's known as standard work or standard operational procedure. In this phase, we create standard work that corrects when abnormal conditions in the flow begin to occur. This means that people working in the flow, either on the manufacturing floor or in the office, have a standard methodology for correcting things when they go wrong. The end result is something called self-healing value streams. Self-healing value streams. The last phrase is a critical feature, since we only achieve operational excellence when we don't need management involvement in the day-to-day happenings of the operation. Instead, operations leadership can spend their time working with sales and operations and innovation process to develop new products that customers want and that fit the operations capabilities. The results in time spent on activities that generate top-line growth. The key to success in achieving operational excellence starts with the right definition, one that everyone at all levels of the operation can understand and know how to achieve. That way, each employee will see our continuous improvement efforts are not about eliminating waste or lowering costs necessarily, Rather, the end goal is to have operations be a key player in creating and delivering products that customers want in order to establish perpetual business growth. That's really my thought on operational excellence. And I'll share that with you. And really, to sum that up, what is operational excellence? It's up for you to define, but it really empowers your frontline employee to understand what processes are all about. So from the operational excellence standpoint, when we talk about turning data into action, we talked about big data and how it plays into operational excellence and operations technology. But what do we do with data? It's information overload. It can be information overload. But what should we be doing with it? If data is the only thing at your fingertips, what do we do first? You have a huge data repository with every piece of information about your organization. And you're a manager, I'm an employee, and you need to do something in order to improve performance and cost. Define what you're going to do. That's first, right? So what is the question? Decide what to produce is exactly the same as define what you're going to do. And what should defining what you're going to do be? What should it mean? Is there a need for who? The customer, both internal and external, right? I would encourage you to think both externally and internally when you're defining that need. So decide what to produce. Ask the question. It doesn't matter if you have the data or not. You need to decide as an organization what you need to do in order to meet customer demand or improve customer satisfaction. Questions about that? That's first step with data. Okay, now we've defined what we were going to do. I want to improve customer satisfaction by 10% in terms of my cooler setup. What data do we need? Now, that's the second step, right? In order to answer the question, in order to make improvements, make gains, 1% improvements over time, now we're looking at what data do we need? We need to source the raw materials, and that can mean a lot of things, or two different things, actually. It could mean what data source are we going to, and who is going to be the person to collect that data, interpret it. That's very important. If you could have somebody like me, who I can pull all the data you want. I'm good at interpreting data, but if I'm not good at interpreting data, it doesn't mean anything to your organization, right? You can produce 18,000 Excel spreadsheets in terms of cooler performance, and it means nothing unless you interpret it correctly. And that's what I mean by number three when I say produce insights with speed. It doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to produce mass amounts of data in order to improve cooler performance, right? It just has to do with your customer satisfaction. So there could be only a couple of data sets that you need. Don't go crazy. Don't pull 18 sheets of data for that one particular item. And it doesn't have to be perfect. It just needs to drive action. It just needs to get to the point where that person who's interpreting data says, okay, we need to get to the stop a little bit quicker and allow more time for the cooler to be set up properly. We need to get to that point. More time allowance. We need more time allowance. Okay, go to the engineers. We need more time allowance. We need to get to produce insights with speed quickly. Don't take a year to improve your cooler performance setup. You're in a lot of trouble. You're going to fail. And deliver the goods and act. So as soon as that interpretation comes out, now you need to provide action. You as a manager, as a leader of your organization, need to turn that data into action and go out and improve the way we execute for the customer. Okay. I'm not providing algorithms or formulas or anything like that, but if you have questions about data, if you have, you say, Shelley, I want to improve the way I go to the customer and improve cooler setup, and you have this data set, please feel free to give me a call and I can help you with that. Or help you interpret it, you know, and help you to encourage who you would turn to in your organization to do such a thing. But this is very important, and I have a list of things you would need to do under each and every 1, 2, 3, and 4 here in order to provide action to your organization. So I'll send that out to all of you at the end of the presentation here today. But when we talk about the market and where we are right now, we looked at big data, we looked at robotics. Is robotics on the table for anybody in here? I didn't think so. Oh wait, one person? Really? Very nice. One person, that's great. We'll have to talk later. It's pretty awesome. And 3D printing, is 3D printing on the table for anybody? We're not gonna 3D print water, right? That's a wonderful thing about food and beverage. So data is where our information lies and where our success lies. So I would encourage you to go back and take a look at data before you invest in any technology improvements. After you get done with looking at data and determining as an organization, you're asking your questions, right, of how to improve costs and how to improve performance and how do I improve my environmental footprint. Take that data, those interpretations, and put it into a standard operating procedure. This goes back to how do we get our employees to execute on a daily basis? How do we increase performance? And it's here. By definition, a standard operating procedure is an established or prescribed method or set of methods to be followed routinely for performance of designated operations or designated situations. Okay? So interpret that data and put it into a standard operating procedure. Now, it sounds like a standard operating procedure should be like, you know, never changing, it should be written, and that's it. The answer is that's not true. Markets are going to change, data sets are going to change, and your goals are going to change. Standard operating procedures should be addressed at a minimum on a quarterly basis. Okay? Once you have a standard operating procedure written, you should be looking at market trends and deciding as an organization what you want to go do, and modifying your standard operating procedures. Now, standard operating procedures, while they're written, in some organizations, and I'm thinking of me being very guilty right now, they can end up on a shelf. They can end up on a shelf and there's no communication out to the organization, right? What good is that? If I'm the driver and you're my manager and you have that standard operating procedure for how I should go execute my route, and provide great cooler service, but you keep it on your shelf and you haven't. If I'm a new employee, you kept it on your shelf for a couple of quarters now, and I'm still going out to deliver, and my cooler performance really stinks. What good is that? Right? We need to develop a process in order to share with our new employees, with our veteran employees, with our managers, our office employees as well. So when I talk about company policy, it can mean many things here. Company policy could be a rule, like you have to wear your uniform a certain way. That's a procedure. Company policy, you need to report to work at a certain time. But it also talks about how we want to provide customer service as well, right? Company policy. Now, many examples of company policy, but company policy drives your questions that you asked and how we want to interpret data. That drives standard operating procedures. And then the fine details of those standard operating procedures, how I'm going to go execute my route or provide cooler service, goes into a working practice document and operational guidelines, which should be the standard of performance that you're holding your folks accountable for. Two. Questions about that can be a little bit confusing. And it takes a long time to develop. You can't just go out, you know, in the world where I came from. I was in UPS for 15 years and went over to Nestle, but even in the UPS world, a very strict culture, very process-driven, even in that world, it would take months to develop a working practice document or operational guidelines. Months, sometimes years, and your ever-changing data. Okay? So don't get discouraged if you go back and you say, I want to work on this, and it takes you a couple of months to get there. Just remember to update your data and update the questions that you're asking about the organization. That is very true. And you know, to that point, we talked a little bit, we touched a little bit on continuous improvement, right? Anybody here Six Sigma or continuous improvement organization? A couple, okay. I would encourage you to take a look at Six Sigma or continuous improvement principles in itself, because it really ties into what we're talking about here. There is life after producing a document, absolutely, right? And it exists with the follow-up and the modification that occurs after. But continuous improvement principles, or operational excellence as well, will take you through that. We could spend hours and hours and days on continuous improvement and methods and procedures, but you're absolutely right. That is where we struggle, not just in getting here, but the follow-up that occurs after. You could produce the prettiest working practice document you've ever seen in your life, and then 3 weeks later, it's gone because you don't follow up and you don't encourage practice. More questions or comments on this part here? I think we've ended actually a little bit early, and I apologize to end so early, but I'm going to turn it over for question and answers. We were going to go through the Operational Excellence Center handbook, but we decided that it was best to send it to you directly. Please send your email address if you're interested in the Operational Excellence handbook. It's going to encompass everything that we talked about today, including some principles on continuous improvement. Send your email address to me, shelley.brickle@waters.nestle.com. And if you would, in the subject line, OEC handbook, just so I can do a quick reply to everybody. But I'd like to open it up to questions, anybody, throughout the presentation that we had here, or anything in terms of continuous excellence as well, continuous improvement. Yes?
Could you tell us a bit about the data and technologies and performance indicators that you use at Nestle?
Bob, can I? Sorry, I'm asking why don't I talk about the UPS world? So it's a non-competitive nature. We'll do that. So you want to know continuous, you want to know KPIs? Can you repeat the question just for a second?
I was just curious what you use at Nestle for performance indicators, how you manage your continuous improvement processes.
Okay. In the route operations world, we can talk a little bit about that. In the route operations world, we have stops, complete, run order. So it's really it's execution in terms of, I can share it with you directly if there's something specifically you're looking for, which I think might be the case. But you know, there's a million things that you can measure, and I'm not quite sure if we want to talk about our specific measures.
Committed to him. ETAs in within time windows that we have. The
One thing just on to comment on that, my experience in the past has been in developing KPIs or performance metrics for organizations. And what I've found is that we tend to over-measure. If you give me 18 things to measure on a daily basis, what is my likelihood of success? And also in the Operational Excellence Handbook that I'll send out, it actually has a list of example key performance indicators with actionable items to attain. That all goes into the handbook as well. More questions? Nothing? Yes, go ahead. Actually, yes. There's a great way of going about getting everybody's input and ruling out things that don't make sense. And I would encourage you to take a look at continuous improvement. That we utilize something at Nestle called Go, See, Think, Do. And it's a way of everyone getting to weigh in on what should go into the process. And then as a group, you can utilize the process by ruling out things that don't necessarily make sense. Does that answer your question a little bit? Also included in the Operational Excellence Handbook. Questions? More questions? It's a quiet group. Make my job easy. I actually lost my voice yesterday, last night, and regained it this morning. So I was pretty happy about that. Okay, if we don't have any more questions, please feel free to email me anytime, and I will certainly send you the Operational Excellence Handbook. Thank you very much for your time. Take care.